Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. It's Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That is FNTSY. Dan Strafford, Mike Blute with you for the next 3 hours. Getting you up to speed on all things sports, all things fantasy sports, some wagering thrown in as well. And we'll cover off on lots of topics over those 3 hours. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk about Luis Severino and Aaron Nola and their contracts. Dell Demps fired in the NBA and so much more to get to. But Mike, I want to hear how you're doing. How was Las Vegas?
Well, I think I feel and sound a lot better than I did a week ago. I just listened to our promo, and I was really under the weather while I was heading out to Vegas, which is a very tough way to start. But all in all, it was good. I was at a conference called the National Sports Forum, and there's just a lot of people from teams there and a variety of places around the sports world. So it's good to kind of catch up with people there. Writers, reporters, a pretty good mix of people. I stayed at the MGM Grand. I was there 4 nights, but my first night out there, as I said, I wasn't really feeling great. And I was a responsible person, and I took a couple of NyQuil and just got a ton of sleep the first night there. It was a Saturday night in Vegas. It was 9 wow. o'clock, and I went to bed, but I really felt that terrible. But I'm leaving out, I'm burying the lead because there was some drama in my trip. The first of which is that as I was in the cab heading from McCarran Airport to the MGM Grand, I reached into my backpack, just to make sure I had everything. And I realized my laptop was not in it.
Oh no.
So I was like, okay. Where could it be? I didn't work on the plane because I wasn't feeling well. I took a nap or whatever and watched a movie and came to realize that I had left my laptop in screening at JFK, at TSA screening. It's Saturday night, so I call lost and found. Nobody's there. Next day's Sunday. Call all day. Nobody's there. I call Monday 10 times. Somebody finally picks up. It might have even been Tuesday. I can't even remember at this point because I called so many times, and I called like 3 different numbers. Uh-huh. I sent an email, and a guy picked up, asked me to describe the item, and they had it.
Wow.
They had the laptop. So when I got back late Wednesday, I had to drive over to TSA in Queens.
Oh, wow.
And locate my item. And honestly, they were the friendliest people. You know how you get TSA gets this reputation at the airports of just being surly and mean, especially in the New York airports, to be frank. But I went over there. They couldn't have been friendlier, nicer, or quicker about retaining my obtaining my laptop. And the guy's like, you know what, because the government shut down, we have about 3,000 items here. So to say that he's like, you need to play lottery because I was like, well, I just got back from Vegas, so I can't play the lottery
right
now. But they got my laptop. So that was one big thing. The second thing that happened is as I arrive home at JFK on Wednesday evening, we got in a little early. It was 5:30 or so. I'm waiting for I had to check my bag because I was carrying a whole bunch of stuff and I wasn't going to be able to get on with like 4 items. So, and I normally don't do this, check my bag because I wasn't traveling particularly light this time. And as the bag rolls out, or as I'm waiting for the bag to roll out, nothing happens. There's no bag.
Oh, no.
and then the carousel stops, and there's no
The worst feeling. The worst feeling in the world.
You're right. So this is after. I currently don't have my laptop. Keep in mind, this is Wednesday. So I currently have not retrieved my laptop. Then I go over to baggage claim. The woman looks it up, and in about 2 minutes, she's like, yeah, they took the bag off the plane. So it's in Vegas currently. And I'm like, that was a head. She's like, sometimes they do that for weight balance and whatever. I'm like, the flight was half empty. Why wouldn't a bag be on there? She's like, I can't tell you that. So they delivered my bag the next day. So I did get it back. But
okay.
I had to go home from the airport without my laptop and without my luggage. So it was quite an eventful trip on that front. That's a couple of my bad luck items that happened.
It's just amazing, Mike, to think that of all the people out there in the world who lose things in Vegas because they're in Vegas, right? Like because they're out all night, or you just had the dumb luck of leaving things places.
Yeah, I mean it's my fault on the laptop, 100%. I was just like I was fully on cold medicine. And I had a bunch of other stuff with me.
Right.
And since my backpack was so heavy, as I picked it up off of the screener, I just didn't even feel that it was lighter. You know what I mean? So I'd never done that. I've traveled pretty extensively this whole decade for various jobs and everything else. And I had never done that. I'd never left anything behind like that. And trust me, it was a tough deal there for the first couple of days. But all is well. I gambled a little bit. I went to a lot of hotels. We can get into the sports books if you want, because I visited a lot of those.
Well, I think that's an interesting point. And listen, everybody knows you can go to Vegas and bet on sports. That's been the way it's been before the repeal and before the proliferation in New Jersey and more states coming online. But you said you observed that it was even more prevalent in Vegas than before, that almost every hotel now had a sports book, where before it was very specific hotels that you went to for the sports book, correct?
Yeah, like if I went, like when I was in Vegas 15 years ago, probably longer. I mean, I was in Vegas 15 years ago, so just take that as a benchmark. I remember staying at Mandalay Bay, and Mandalay Bay had a big sports book because they obviously have fights there. So they maintain a big sports book. And there were others, obviously, as well. But I could be wrong about this, but what I don't remember is every place having a sports book. So now any hotel that you walk into, every hotel that I walked into, and I went to a lot because I walked the strip on one of the nights and I just checked out different places, they all had one. The Aria, MGM, where I stayed, the Flamingo, Bally's, the Cosmopolitan, which is not even like the Cosmo is really trying to draw in women in that way. The Aria is sort of like that too, but they play to the female population, just the way the place is set up. Nightclubs, nice restaurants, fancy stores, that kind of stuff. The Cosmo had one. I could bet NFL futures at the Cosmo if I wanted. I ended up at the South Point where VSIN is located, the Vegas Sports Stats and Information Network. They are located there. Their studio is right next to the sports book, so it's like the casino floor. And I was told they had to remove slot machines in order to put that in, which Vegas is not typically willing to do.
You don't remove slots. Come on.
Yeah, the guy told me, I asked somebody there, the guy told me that that was a $44,000 a month area for them.
Wow.
Just on slots right next to the book, because he said a lot of times guys will hang out at the book during the day and their lady friend, wife, girlfriend, whomever will sit at those slots and just keep an eye on them to make sure he's not losing all his money at the book. So they would just play slots all day. So it was a popular slot area. However, the handle of the book has gone up so much the casino's been happy with it, because people are attracted to that casino more now than ever because they have live programming going on and it's gaining a reputation for being a really good book. And that the South Point Hotel is at the tip of the strip, at the very top of the strip. So it's sort of like to give you an example from the MGM, it's a bit of a drive. Like you got to jump in a cab and drive 15 minutes in order to be able to go to that book. But it's a little bit of an old school casino, has a reputation for being a locals casino, but they do have a lot going on there, and the sports book is legit. So I was kind of impressed, even though it's an old school hotel, demographic skews a little bit older. Their sports book is certainly live for sure. But you know, I have a whole bunch of odds. We'll get into it a little bit later in the show. But I grabbed a whole bunch of sheets from the Cosmo, from South Point, from other places on futures for NFL, on MLB futures, college football futures. So we'll get into it throughout the show. It was just good. It was good for me to kind of get a sense of what the sports books are like and how they're playing to various people. But there's no doubt that sports betting is in a bigger place now than ever before, including in Vegas, where it was thought to be the epicenter of all of it. Even in Vegas, there's a larger presence of sports books than there ever has been before.
And that's a bit of a lead here with this, just simply because the growing world that is sports wagering, you see a ton of states introducing legislation, and folks who are listening to us across the country are going to start having the legal opportunity in state to play. You look at a state like New Jersey. I know Mississippi has a casino or two now with sports wagering. And so you're going to see this come online. And it's not that you shouldn't still go to Vegas. Vegas has the biggest of the big, but you're going to start to see mobile apps and the change here. And the reason I bring this up is mainly something that George Kurtz talked about a lot, and credit to him, and I agree with him. You got to shop around. You're not just going to one place and saying, this is the place I'm always going to go. It's kind of like saying, well, I'm only going to shop at one supermarket, even though the one down the street has better stuff and is on sale all the time. You need to look at the sheets Mike just described and see who has the best odds, who has the most upside, where you can place wagers that give you the best odds. So it's smart to make that trip to Vegas and make the walk and up and down the strip to see what you can get before placing a wager. Now, obviously, if you want to...
I'll give you one example specifically on that. Cosmopolitan has the Colts future. This is to win the whole thing next year at 18-1. South Point has them at 10-1. So the Colts would be one of those teams, if you're putting together who can win the title next year, the Colts would probably be one of the six teams that you'd throw into the ring right now. Like, I think they have a shot. They're building the team in a good way. They made the playoffs this year. They won a playoff game. And if you can get that kind of odd difference, a difference of 18-1 versus 10-1, that's a prime example of why you should shop around.
Yep. Seeing on a couple of different online sites, them at 18-1. So 18-1 makes a whole lot better sense than 10-1. So you make that trip, maybe a cab ride, an extra couple of dollars to maybe win a whole lot more. Well, enough more here with the difference of 10-1, 18-1. And it's, to me, listen, it's the same as fantasy sports for me, that you can do the bare minimum, right? Like you can get by a lot of the time by doing the bare minimum, and you can make decisions based on a single magazine you buy in January for fantasy baseball, or you can stay on top of the news. You can shop around for projections and rankings and tiers and all the different content that's now available in fantasy baseball and do the extra homework. And that is just life, right? You do the extra work, you put in the extra time. Typically, you open up more opportunity, and here it's opportunity to winning higher sums of cash. Now, obviously, you look at the Miami Dolphins at 300-1, you're probably going to find them at 300-1 everywhere because they're not a good football team. That's just going to be the way it is. But it is an intriguing process to compare odds and make sure that you're on top of it.
Yeah, you made a good point about the mobile apps. Like, if you're staying in the MGM, you just download the MGM mobile app. You can place wagers on your app on your app too. You don't have to walk over to the book. If you didn't want to, you could just be sitting in your hotel and doing that. So the last thing, obviously, you can do anything you want in Vegas. It's just that kind of town. But technologically, they are up to par with everybody on that front. So. Last thing I'll say is I got a chance to go to an event at T-Mobile Arena where the Vegas Golden Knights play. It was a little bit of a cluster getting there. But once we got there, they put on a Vegas-style show like you wouldn't believe. And I've heard they do this before all of their games. There's almost like a medieval times scene with the knight and the opposing team having a knight dressed up, and there's like an Excalibur situation, showgirls, drum lines, cheerleaders. Like, Vegas does everything big. They're the best city in the world at doing things big. And even before, there wasn't even a hockey game that night. So for us to get that style of show in an off night, again, at a tour of the arena, was really cool. So I would highly recommend going to a game there, just based off the fact that I went on a night there wasn't a game being played, and it was still a really good show.
I will say one of my favorite Twitter followers is Daniel Negreanu, who is a big Golden Knights fan and obviously a big poker player out there. If you, you want to follow someone on Twitter and get the sense of how big a deal it is for Vegas residents or those who are out there a lot, you can follow him. It's a good one. It's a good one to follow him. We're going to get into some sports on the other side of this. We're going to talk the NBA here in the first hour. Dell Demps let go by the New Orleans Pelicans. And, of course, the NBA All-Star Weekend, what to expect in the second half of the season, and so much more. Dan Straffer, Mike Blewett with you here on Fantasy Sports Today. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY. We're back with more on the other side of this break. Stay tuned.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Dan Strafford, Mike Blewett with you here on Fantasy Sports Today. We're leading up to 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Glad to be with you as you wake up on the West Coast each and every Saturday morning, getting you up to speed on what happened the day before, what's ahead for today, and what's future in the sports landscape. Today we'll talk pretty much across the board, NBA, MLB, and NFL. We'll also take a look at some more wagering data later on and some topics therein. But Mike, wanted to circle back here as we are on All-Star Weekend. Next segment, we'll talk a little bit about what to expect in the second half, teams to watch for, teams that may miss out on the playoffs that we sort of penciled in to be there. But this entire saga in New Orleans needs some talking about, where you had Dell Demps play, what's the best analogy? Broken-hearted lover, where he teased out the Los Angeles Lakers because they tampered with Anthony Davis. And he teased them, and he teased them to the point of stories coming out, Brian Windhorst saying on, I think, NBA Today over on ESPN, that he believed and was pretty sure they intentionally dragged their feet and intentionally tried to get in the heads of the young players on the Lakers by sowing some discontent over who would be traded. And then All-Star Weekend comes around, and the Pelicans fire Dell Demps. They fire him after all of this, after holding on to him. And then, even better, Mike, they say, well, we're going to keep doing the same thing. We're going to let Anthony Davis play, and then we're going to try to trade him in the offseason because we have a year left on his contract. Have you seen anything this inept from a franchise in a long time?
So we talked about it a little bit last week, where some of the offers seem to be really big for Anthony Davis. Who knows what was actually on the table? Those rumors of the seven players and the six picks seemed excessive. But I actually don't – look, if the offers were like that, seven players and six picks, and he just said no because I don't really want you dictating that to me, then that's a bad reason for it. But I don't mind them waiting to get other teams in the mix. The reality was the Celts and the Knicks couldn't really offer what the Lakers were offering then. And it's always better if you have multiple bidders involved. So from that perspective, and maybe the owner, Gail Benson, is Tom Benson's widow. Maybe she was like, and she's even said there's a mandate right now that she wants to, quote, take back control from outside forces. So I can appreciate that. You don't get LeBron's agent, who's also Anthony Davis's agent, making demands that you want to be traded immediately and listen to him unless the offers are legit. So I think the narrative that's out there, to your point, is ridiculous. If he was just saying no because he felt like he was tampered with and wasn't really being legitimate about the offers, then that's childish. And frankly, he's been the GM for 9 years. They've won one playoff series, and you can't really – that's not a good track record. Anthony Davis is on the team. You've won one playoff series in 9 years. I don't care that you're in the Western Conference. Do something about it. You know what I mean? Like, now he wants to leave because you're so bad. So that's on the GM, period.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a very, very good point that it may not have been the most recent series of events. That just icing on top of the cake, whatever phrase you want to use.
Last straw.
For last straw. Good one, too. That it just all came to a head. But it was insane to watch this unfold. And I think all of us said they're going to wait till the offseason. You know, everyone saw that with the Celtics, and there was just too many pieces, as you're saying, that could offer something after the trade deadline. And I do think there's an interesting union / labor / players' rights process going on in multiple sports right now, right? So in baseball, we'll talk about that later. You have Machado and Harper and the lower deals. And I say, in my opinion, lower deals that Nola and Severino have signed. You have in the NFL, ongoing debates around labor issues and player safety. And then, of course, you have the Kaepernick and Eric Reed grievance that was settled. And now here in the NBA, how much control and how much right does a player have under contract, a contract they've signed, to say, I no longer want to play here. I know I signed a contract. I know I'm getting paid money to be here, but, you know, I don't think it's a good idea. What's the line? Do we as fans need to care about that? Do we need to subscribe to a certain way of doing? Typically, fans do side with the ownership, just a weird way that things shake out when it comes to sports.
That's a great point. It's a great point, and something that I'm often confused by is that owners or fans often side with the owners, and I'm always perplexed by that. Most people that we are listening to us are fans that aren't owning their own companies. There's certainly some small business owners out there. I'm sure we have a few titans of industry out there listening on occasion that are CEOs and understand the owner's perspective. But the reality is fans are often going against players in a situation where they should be looking for the best possible market available for them and for your jobs. Now, it is complicated in the NBA because you have somewhat mercurial younger people without a lot of life experience, certainly unique experiences compared to me and you and everybody else listening, but 22-year-old guys that just feel at that moment that they're not getting enough shots, so they're going to go to the press and demand a trade. That's not a good thing for the NBA. Right. This Anthony Davis thing isn't a good thing for the NBA that it could happen. He's obviously going to get traded. It just didn't get traded now. It'd be traded in a few months. And it's because he wants to. And I understand his frustration. He's turning down some money. It's not as much as is reported. He's not turning down $70 million. That's been reported in certain areas. That's not true. In the long term, he will have turned down some money, but it's not $70 million because he can sign with a new team, then get an extension, and will recoup back some of that money that he would not see initially. But that's the tough part. Now, on the flip side of things, Blake Griffin signs a max extension with the Clippers, and 4 months later, he's in Detroit playing basketball. So how's that fair?
Right. Yeah, you make the decision to... Yep, you make... And listen, I think sports psychology of it all, and I'm not a psychologist, but you root for sports and you analyze sports long enough, you start to see some patterns, and you hear the, what was it, the Seinfeld joke or Seinfeld line of you root for the laundry, the name on the front of the laundry, right?
Yeah, you root for the laundry.
Where the owner, yeah, you root for the owner in essence there, because the owner's always going to be there, right? The owner's going to, well, yeah, hopefully for Knicks fans, it's not forever with Dolan, but like,
It's going to be forever.
It is. Really,
it's going to be $3.5 billion asset.
He's going to be buried in Madison Square Garden. He's going to be just full on under the court. There it is. Thank you, Sean. Sean Angle is getting it done. It's amazing to me that we get so hung up on it, though, and so hung up on contracts. We spend other people's money so well as sports fans. And we worry about, oh, you know, paid him too much, or we're overpaying Jacoby Ellsbury. How dare we? Well, the Yankees can. Like, that's something they can do. Excuse me. Yeah. But getting back to the Pels and the NBA, what's funny is probably the wrong word, Mike, but Anthony Davis left with an injury right before the All-Star break. Like, the guy he's made of glass. And I know he's played a ton of games when even it seems like he's always injured, but he's always leaving games. And the talent is there, but eventually you just have to be like, come on, man. Stop getting banged up and bruised. Play to your full potential and see what happens. You assume he's going to in LA or Boston, right? Those are the two major destinations.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to, I think New York is a possibility, but yeah, you'd make those other two the leaders for sure. I just don't know that anybody else has the assets to compete. And you know, Boston's going to have to give up some really good players. That's the problem. Yep. Like, Jason Tatum probably leaves there, and I love Jason Tatum. The problem is he's not Anthony Davis. I do think Jason Tatum's an all-star. Like, just, I think he could consistently be an all-star, but he won't be Anthony Davis. It's unlikely. So, to your point about Anthony Davis leaving games, it is a curious thing. Like, he leaves in the first quarter, comes back in the third quarter on a regular basis. It's an odd coaching strategy for Alvin Gentry. But for me, I think that if Anthony Davis – I could see Anthony Davis taking himself out of games because he knows this isn't his long-term future. I'm not saying he's jaking it or anything like that, but would you play at a 110% clip for the Pelicans if you were Anthony Davis right now? It seems like it's not something he would do. I'm not taking shots at his integrity. Some people think that might be. I'm saying I understand why he wouldn't want to do that.
Right. I mean, and that all comes back. We made the comment last week that if you knew you were being let go by your company, you're not sitting there helping them turn a profit. Like, you're not. Like, you're maybe listen, maybe you are. A small percentage of the population that works 100% of the time, no matter what, all things full steam ahead, you know, you have pride and blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't. Let me say it that way. I would not. If my company said, hey, Dan, we're letting you go in 3 weeks, but you're staying on for 3 weeks, I'd find my best ways to be scarce. I find my best ways to get just enough done to get those 3 weeks of paychecks, and then I move on to my next job. I'd be looking for my next job. And so it's a really intriguing process here. And this is an interesting structure.
That's why the
corporate
world, they just let you go. Here's your severance package. You can just give me your key card and you're out. Like, they don't keep you hanging around unless you're vital.
Because it becomes you poison the well. You know, you're that rotten apple that makes it worse. And that's what we're going to see with New Orleans. We're going to see a player, a malcontent, who's there for the rest of the season. And here's the thing. This is an intriguing setup in New Orleans. You have to remember Gail Benson is the owner. So the Saints are in the mix here, how they manage things. There are advisors to Benson who have nothing to do with basketball, who are advising on basketball.
Dell Demps is reporting to Saints GM and Pelicans head of basketball operations, Mickey Loomis. Mickey Loomis should not have anything to do with the Pelicans. It's an absurd setup. I get that New Orleans is one big happy family and community, but that's a ridiculous setup. It should not be the case. The Sixers and the Devils are owned by the same company. They have separate and unique operational people for the playing side of things. Now, the president is the same. The executives, the president oversees all of the business operations for both teams, but that's business side. basketball side, you can't have Mickey Loomis running head of basketball operations. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It does not make a single shred of sense. And you look at now they bring in Danny Ferry as interim general manager for the remainder of 2018-2019. How much will Ferry have to do with trade negotiations as this season comes to an end? Probably zero, unless they hire him full time. So it's going to be Loomis. It's going to be Gail Benson who are trying to make these trades, which becomes even more intriguing because you don't have a basketball mind doing it. You don't have the team on top of it and making deals. Anthony Davis is a top 10 talent, and you should get a huge return for him if you do decide to trade him. But this just screams of it being a continued mess into the spring and summer where potentially, and again, I say potentially, one of these teams may be able to get a better deal than they should because of who they're dealing with. Or maybe the Pelicans say flat out, hey, you're staying the entire year. We have you under contract for a year. You're going to stay here.
That's insane.
Who knows?
Do that.
I agree, but who knows?
I mean, unless they feel like, well, we passed up a haul from the Lakers, and we didn't get what we want this summer, so we'll wait it out to the next trade deadline and see what we can get there. I mean, it's not ideal because you're just punting the entire 2020 season as well, 2019-2020 season as well. It's not the way I would go about it. I think to your point about who's going to be making these negotiations, first of all, point A, if you thought Danny Ferry couldn't get a GM job again, you're wrong. Now he's got one again. And secondly, I think the proper approach here would be to make sure that you go out and you get somebody like David Griffin or another well-respected up-and-coming GM or established GM, be it former or current, and have that guy come in and make negotiations. You're cleaning house effectively, so start with the GM being able to do it. Whether he gets rid of Danny Ferry and everybody else on staff is fine by me, but I think you need a fresh look to come in here and say, all right, we understand the story with Davis. He's not going to be here, so I'm going to get the best return. And there you go. David Griffin would probably be a great candidate, by the way. It's weird that he's not a GM now, but I think that's one way to go.
I think it is. Sorry. I think I got your cold somehow or another. interesting thing for me with Anthony Davis is if you hold on to him till next trade deadline, you've diminished your return, right? Because all of a sudden he's just a rental player. You know, like he's a rental contract. And obviously you're going to, wherever he goes is going to look to be the team that he signs a long-term deal with. But it's a mess. And it's been a mess from the jump and a mess from when Rich Paul and Anthony Davis leaked the idea that he wanted to be traded. It will continue to be so. I do want to turn our attention during the end of this segment.
Also, it's been a mess, Dan, because they can't field a good team, and Anthony Davis is on their team.
That's a good point. It is like that's a really a good point that I don't know that's been as talked about, and you've mentioned it twice and probably needs a little bit more. Have Anthony Davis, a top five, potentially top 10 talent in the NBA. You had DeMarcus Cousins. I know he got hurt, but you haven't been able to piece together a roster that can compete. And that's on ownership and, to your point, Dell Demps, the general manager, part of the reason he's probably gone. But that's a great point that, yes, Anthony Davis pushed this to the brink, but this was already, teetering on the edge simply because New Orleans wasn't a good team.
Yeah, it's not like he didn't give him a chance. I mean, you know what I mean? This is his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th season there. They've won one playoff series. He's 25 now. So he's still very young, but he's been in the league since he's 19. So let's get the show on the road here, guys. He's going to be 26 in a couple of weeks.
26 with, I think, 470 injuries over the course of his NBA career. I kid because I love watching him play. I wish he was out on the court more. But we'll see how he comes back after the All-Star break. A bruised shoulder after the MRI, so should be fine. Haven't seen any comments about him playing in the All-Star game or not, so we'll keep an eye on that. We'll talk about the Futures game on Friday night. We'll talk about the NBA All-Star game itself. There are DFS contests out there if you are so inclined. Have fun. Have fun with it. make sure you are having fun, that you are not looking to make a huge profit off of that. But we'll talk about that on the other side of this break. It's Fantasy Sports Day. Plenty of content still to come. Major League Baseball, NFL, and some talk about the future of this season in the NBA. Dan Straver, Mike Blewett, coming back with more on the other side of this break. Fantasy Sports Radio, FNTSY.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Dan Strafford, Mike Blewett here. Fantasy Sports Today. Sean Engel behind the glass on the ones and twos as well. Some good music to kick us off here. Talking about the rest of the season in the National Basketball Association. Talk a little bit about the Futures game last night. As I said, going into the break, Mike, and I make the joke, but did you think, let's say, even a year ago, let's say 2 years ago, we would see daily fantasy sports games for not only the All-Star game itself, but the Futures game, World versus the United States?
Well, people will bet on anything, Dan. They really will. I mean, nothing ever surprises me. But like, hey, can I get odds on, if you're at a book, they'd be like, yeah, we can do that. There's, you know, the
we can accommodate
taking your money. So as long as they feel like there's a market for it, you can bet on anything, and you can even create odds. If you're a big enough player, you can create odds for yourself on certain things. Kuzma wins the MVP in that one last night, dropped 35.
Yes,
defense was at a premium last night. 161 to 144, not exactly locking them down. It was not 90s basketball, no hand-checking allowed. So, you know, unfortunately, the NBA All-Star game used to be really watchable and All-Star weekend. But now I just keep an eye on it because it isn't real basketball. So it's kind of goofy.
Well, it's funny you say that because the celebrity game was Friday night, and you, I'm sure, remember Rock and Jock Basketball, right? MTV with the 4-point mark and the 25-point basket. Give me that in the All-Star game. Like, give me like a total spectacle where they can
get
hit
really
four
ridiculous
pointers.
With it.
Exactly. Exactly right. Let's just get nuts.
Yeah, I still want to watch you not playing defense. Let's make it silly. Let's have
exactly
a 5-point shot from half court that's 20 feet up in the air. Yeah,
that just Steph Curry stands there the entire time and just keeps shooting from there.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to limit it, you know, like you'd have to limit that so guys wouldn't be gunning for the 20-point shot,
right,
or the 10-point shot.
They'd have a 400 to 380 final. That's all.
Well, if Steph was playing, you could make it work. But
so you made mention Kyle Kuzma wins the MVP. Not a ton of defense. I think there were 5 total blocks, all of them by the U.S. Kuzma with one of them. Mitchell with one. You had 2 from Jared Allen and 1 from Trae Young, which is intriguing to see from Young. Not a ton of steals either. De'Aaron Fox and Donovan Mitchell pacing there with 5 apiece. You know, it's fun to see the youngsters, fun to see them shining a bit here on All-Star Weekend. Kuzma, we've seen some talent over his career. It's something to keep an eye on. But, Mike, do you take anything from All-Star Weekend at this point for the rest of the year?
I don't really. I do think it'll be sort of an interesting thing with Anthony Davis. I wouldn't expect him to play, but if he pulls like what Carmelo pulled a couple of years ago and be like, yeah, I'm hurt, but I can get out there and play in the All-Star game. It's like, really? You're really hurt? You're coming out of every single one of our games and you can just go out there for the All-Star game? So that game,
so that kind of stuff
is really a bigger Okay, sorry. We had a little bit of a technical issue there, so Dan's coming back. But for me, All-Star Weekend, typically not something that is going to be a big deal. for me to watch. I don't think you have any particular stories that are going to be more important than the other. It's becoming a spectacle in order to, you know, it's made around the dunk contest, the three-point contest, this Rising Stars game. It's just a way for them to showcase, get some ratings. It's a big party for the NBA and all the sponsors. In fact, our very own Mike Cardano is down there. I don't know that he's partying, but he's got meetings. It's a way to conduct business around the NBA. That's what a lot of these games are, these big events are. So whether it's the All-Star game for any of the sports, particularly MLB, NBA, and NHL, because they're mid-season, that's a big sort of corporate fest. I've been to multiple Final Fours. It's a way in where it's a place where people go in order to conduct business in the college sports space. So, Dan, I'm just saying that in general, a lot of these All-Star games, a lot of it is for corporate sponsors to get together, have a big party, showcase the league, get some business done, and move on from there. I don't think from a basketball standpoint you take much out of it anymore.
No, I agree with you there, and I think it's a situation where a lot of the players are part of that corporate entity too. You know, their brands and their money and is tied up in a lot of other ventures across the way. It's a chance for them to, you know, pump the brake a little bit on the season, have some fun, enjoy the dunk contest, enjoy the skills
LeBron
competition.
LeBron can hang out with Anthony Davis.
Right, exactly right.
That's a real thing. Like, now that the players are basically negotiating contracts and tampering constantly. By the way, this is all tampering. It's just the players can't, you know, don't say anything about it. They just hang out. They have dinner. They court each other to their various teams, and they end up making deals. I mean, the whole Miami Heat thing.
Right.
I mean, that was LeBron and Wade and Bosch getting together and saying, let's do a super team.
Yep. The banana boat crew was speculated for a while that there was some pieces coming out of there, and you do still have Carmelo Anthony out there waiting to sign with someone. Just wait, folks. Just wait for the second half. Melo's going to sign somewhere. It's probably going to be the Lakers, and it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. And I wanted to talk about those Lakers, Mike. We see that right now they are being projected to not make the playoffs. And now for the Lakers themselves, when you look at the roster, you say, well, it's not all that surprising. But this is a league where LeBron James has made the postseason in 13 consecutive seasons. Now it's possible he won't make them out in L.A. What do you put, and you say you can get odds on anything, don't necessarily need numbers, but what are the odds for you that LeBron James puts the Lakers on his back here and somehow gets them into the playoffs?
See, I'm just doing the math right now. I mean, there are a bunch of games out right now. What is that? Five plus two. So you're like 3.5 games out right now. I would imagine that LeBron is not going to let that happen.
Yep.
That he will. I mean, he's been out, right? So he was out for a while. So that obviously hurt them a whole bunch. They've lost their last two as well. They've lost 7 out of their last 10. So that's really the difference between them being in or out of the playoffs. I would suspect that LeBron gets on a little bit of a run here, even if he has to take over and just get them to the playoffs. LeBron, now, this is one of the first legit injuries of LeBron's career. I know there was the knee injury a couple of years ago in Cleveland, but I'll believe that was a knee injury when I see actual proof, medical documentation. I think LeBron was hitting the pause button because he was exhausted and sort of done with dealing with the drama of that particular team, and he ended up getting him to the finals. So I think he's got a little bit of rest here, and he'll be able to push after the All-Star break, and you'll see him get on a little bit of a run in March in order to get them into the playoffs. Now, if the Clippers are playing really well for the rest of the year, and even the Kings, it's going to make it tougher. But I would still say that the Lakers are in a better position than the Kings or even the Clippers. That's my personal opinion.
The Kings have been a fun team to watch on the year, and one that growing up before our eyes, those young whippersnappers out there. Yeah, well, they had to just trade DeMarcus Cousins and get rid of other pieces as their coach a couple of times. But you do have De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield's playing fairly well. Willie Cauley-Stein, Marvin Bagley, when he is not injured, is playing well as well. And they're on the outside looking
they're
in.
Good young players. Good young players.
And it's still the same. LeBron leaves the East. The East has two teams under 500 in the seventh and eighth spot. Underwhelming Hornets and underwhelming Pistons therein. And you do have the tankers, of course, with the Knicks and the Phoenix Suns going at it.
The Knicks
try to
won
get
the other night.
They beat the Hawks. So three of the Knicks' 11 wins on the season have come against the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, it says everything you need to know about both teams.
Yeah, and the Hawks have 19 wins. They're eight games ahead of New York somehow or another. But this is the whole tank for Zion Williamson, or at least that is the theory. You do have to remember that lottery percentages have changed this year. So it's even across the top three. So it could be that the Knicks or Suns tank and have the worst record in the league and still don't have the best opportunity to get the number one overall pick. But that'll be a continuing
Knicks, Suns, Cavs. That's your most likely bottom three. You throw the Bulls in there. It's really nobody else. So it's three of those four teams that will have the top percentage. The Knicks, if you look at the Knicks schedule, I mean, they're obviously not better than any of the teams that they're going to play for the rest of the season. So they may hold pretty tight at 11 or 12 wins.
Yeah, they lost 17 in a row before losing. Before winning, which is a loss in the Knicks book right now, but before winning against Atlanta before the break started. On the winning side of the ledger, I guess it all comes down to...
By the way, the Knicks have not won a home game.
Yep.
Since December 1st.
There's a Twitter follow of mine who's a big college basketball guy, Adam Zagoria, who does a blog on college basketball and has done it for ages. But he's a New York City writer, and he does the running list, which many have now, of all the teams that have won at MSG since the last time the Knicks have won. And it's multiple hockey teams. It's multiple NBA teams, multiple college teams.
The dog in the Westminster Dog Show.
That's right.
The King, the Wire Fox Terrier. They showed it the other night.
He had
another win for somebody. So I'm sure there'll be a rodeo there. There'll be a tennis tournament there before they get a home win.
So fantastic. As a Knicks fan, you watch Zion Williamson in college and you think of all the things that can be, but all the ways the Knicks can screw it up too. So that is.
I'm not counting on it. I'm a Knicks fan, I'm ready to be done, but I don't think Zion's going to come here.
Nope.
He's going to end up in Phoenix or Cleveland. God help me, Cleveland.
And listen, RJ Barrett's a talent, but the Knicks are getting RJ Barrett. Like that's.
I'm okay with that, by the way. I'm not guaranteed that Zion is the next LeBron. That's not a guarantee.
Right.
He plays basketball like it's unbelievable. It's like a locomotive on the court, which is great. But he can't play like that in the NBA. It's got to be more well-rounded. It doesn't mean he won't be really good, but you can't count on guys to be the next LeBron. That's just aiming way too high. He doesn't have that skill set. He's not a point guard. Like LeBron's effectively the best point guard that ever lived. So Zion isn't that.
You know who Zion's body frame, I'm not saying his skill set, he looks like Anthony Mason out there. He just looks like this hulking,
a little forward. I get it, though.
Yeah, but just like the brickness of his being, really. I'm sure everyone saw the block that he had, which against what was it, Virginia? The slow gather and the low pass, but it was an insane athletic feat. I do want to turn towards maybe.
I did watch him play. Watch him come back from Louisville the other night.
Oh, that was amazing!
It was an absurd comeback. You know, 26 points down. So
that was one of those games, Mike, where you felt the momentum changing. Like you felt Louisville just hoping not to lose halfway through that comeback, and they just fell apart. And they started thinking, oh, we can't don't make a bad pass, don't take a bad shot, and they just kept getting worse and worse as the game went on.
It happened in 9.5 minutes.
Yep. Absolutely insane.
It's crazy.
Absolutely insane.
They blew a 26 point lead in 9.5 minutes, and they're good.
Positive side of the ledger, or maybe negative, depending on how you look at the NBA Finals. Do you see a team after the trade deadline and heading into the All-Star break that can compete with the Golden State Warriors, whether out of the West Or now, I mean, hey, Markieff Morris is in Oklahoma City. I'm a Markieff Morris stan, so they're primed to make a run. But do you have any team that you think has the upside to compete with the Golden State Warriors and make the NBA Finals or the Western Conference Finals, wherever you think that team is, competitive and potentially a downside for Golden State?
It's really only the Thunder to me, and I don't think they can do it. But if you look at the other teams, I think the Rockets were in a better position, obviously, last year than they are this year. I just don't see them doing it. It would only be the Thunder because they have two stars that could take over and really compete against the Warriors stars. But I wouldn't suspect it. And I don't think the Bucks are ready for prime time. Do you want to say Toronto? You think Toronto maybe can really give them a run in a 7-game series?
They have I like Kawhi, the addition of Gasol. So, I like the yeah. addition of Gasol, but centers don't do well against the Warriors. Yeah, it's just they yeah. take them out of most games because of the way they run their lineups.
Yeah. Steven Adams has been interesting because he's always been a problem for the Warriors, which is why the Thunder are intriguing to me. And I know they couldn't do it with Durant and Westbrook, and now Durant's on the other team. But Paul George is having an MVP season. Westbrook is obviously ripping off triple-doubles. And Steven Adams does give Draymond problems. So that's why I say the Thunder. If I had to pick one team that would knock them off, it would be them. But I don't expect it.
Yep, that makes a ton of sense. I think from the East, you're going to have people talk Raptors and Bucks, and I think the Bucks are an intriguing team simply because of the X factor that is Giannis Antetokounmpo. You can make cases there that he has a skill set that could be intriguing if you do have the right pieces in the lineup as they move
forward. Do you
think
Toronto or Milwaukee comes out of the East, though?
That's the interesting thing. I think Milwaukee's the better team right now defensively. Offensively, they have a lot of pieces. I think Toronto wins, though. And I know that doesn't, you know, shake, really, but it feels as though that's the way it's going to shake out, that you're just not going to have enough Giannis for the against Kawhi. That's going to be a fun one to watch, though.
I want to see the Pacers drop into the sixth seed or the fifth seed, because I don't want to see Boston and Philly play each other in the first round. They're tied right now at the All-Star break, 37 and 21. They're the 4 and 5 seed. I don't want to see them play in the first round. I want to see them. I want to see that matchup potentially down the road. I know it could not happen. So 4 and 5 is a way to guarantee it. But the Oladipo-less Pacers need to drop back a little bit.
Well, Wes Matthews is going to try to make a difference there for Indiana. We have more to get to here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up, we'll talk some Major League Baseball, have NFL in our third hour as well, leading up to 11 o'clock. Dan Strafford, Mike Fluitt, Fantasy Sports Today, right here on FNTSY.